Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Well, if like me, you're fed up of Brexit, you're fed up of Boris, you're fed up of Trump, you're fed up of all the political nonsense that prevails in the world at the moment, we have time for 3 hours of sport. And tonight's show, we have Galway's Danny Cummins coming on, and he's going to discuss Kevin Walsh's shock departure, or not so shock departure today, and what might happen in the West. Both Galway's teams without a manager at the moment, and that's going to be around about 7:30. We'll be hearing from Andy Lee and Jason Quigley on Jason's career and Vasyl Lomachenko, who obviously was amazing at the weekend. Best boxer in the planet at the moment, I'm told. Wouldn't be a big boxing man, but I visited Joseph O'Brien's yard this morning, met some legendary former riders. And on the football show later, we have Ireland-Switzerland, the League of Ireland chat with Dan McDonald and Stewie Byrne. Dan is in studio at the moment with Will O'Callaghan, but lads, I have to start with a little tweet 2 hours ago. Already 5,300 likes. Obviously gutted not to be on the plane. Thanks to everyone for their kind messages. Best of luck to all the lads involved. Devon Toner. It's hard to put up a message when you're obviously so down and out. What have you made of it all?
Well, I suppose it's probably exactly what you'd expect from Devon Toner. Devon Toner is not the type of guy who is going to come out and have a go at John Klein or have a go at the Irish coaching team for leaving him out. It seems this is Johnny, like, he's probably not going to be even a backup option for the World Cup, because they've kept three players around in Will Addison, Kieran Marmion, and also Jordy Murphy. Mm. I get the feeling that even if Ireland have an injury in the second row this weekend against Wales, that in all likelihood they'll see that Tadhg Byrne can cover the position and Jordy Murphy will be the one who would come in, as opposed to Devon Toner. So I think there's an acceptance from Toner that he's not going to Japan unless a multitude of injuries happen at this stage. And I can only imagine how awkward that conversation was between Joe Smith and Devon Toner. Apparently it wasn't all that long either. It was just a couple of minutes between them.
You're out.
Yeah, and that decision is made that John Klein, a guy they've looked at for 2 years as a tight head option in the lock, and then picking him, was he 2 days, I think, eligible before playing his first World Cup warm-up game. And as Dave McIntyre of this parish pointed out yesterday, it's not like Klein has even made much of an impression in the two games he's played. So it was a very hard decision on Devon Toner.
Daniel McDonald of the Irish Independent joins us. Dan, you've no interest in rugby, but your colleague Rory O'Connor, did he kind of break the squad or something?
Yeah,
not break
much,
them, but actually
much,
yeah. Broke the story of
pretty
the squad.
Much. I think Rory would modestly say there was a couple of others as well. I think it might come out in a few outlets, but I think Rory was certainly to the forefront of it. And yeah, listen, you're right. I don't know. I'm not really that pushed about the rugby at all. But what
you don't like it, actually.
No, I don't really. But what? But notwithstanding that, John, let's come to me on it. you know, what I find sort of baffling is that they actually had this plan in the first place to submit the squad and then not discuss it not reveal it publicly for like 6 days. It strikes me as like Joe Smith is someone who's regarded as a very good planner, like, you know, a very good coach, but that was a sort of a slightly naive plan. Like, this information gets out. Like, you're talking about, you know, 31 players, or probably 40 plus if you think about the lads probably who've been,
it's 40,
you know,
in camp,
you know, yeah 40 in camp. And I don't know, I mean, obviously it had to be submitted to World Rugby, so like it's going through a procedure. Like, I know that the last Ireland squad for the for Euro 2016, Ireland played Belarus down in Cork on a 7:45 kickoff, like Tuesday, Wednesday night. The squad list had to be submitted to UEFA by midnight. And basically, I think that the FAO realised, well, they had to get the squad out that night. I think it was 10 o'clock, 10. I think they actually told the players that night. David Ford was dumped in a couple of them. You can't sit on that stuff for 6 weeks, or for 6 weeks, well, that'd be a long time, for 6 days. Like, it's hugely ambitious. And so it strikes me as sort of a bit embarrassed. I know people are saying, well, this shouldn't have leaked out or whatever. I mean,
is the veneer of awe around Joe Schmidt on the wane?
Well, I think to just take up Dan's point, it was obvious that this was going to get out, because I was talking to some of the players in Cardiff after the game at the weekend, and the first obvious question, Andrew Conway and Jack Carthy were two of the players who were brought up to speak, two probably in the kind of 50-50 range. Maybe Carthy knew he was going after playing 80 minutes at the weekend, and straight away he was like, look, we're going back up to Carlton House on Monday, we're all going to find out, and the first thing we're going to do is tell our family members and our mates whether we're in or out. And after that, it doesn't take a huge amount of deduction after that to work out who's in the squad. I think the RFU kind of got beaten to the punch a little bit by this. I'm sure when they saw Rory's article and some of the other predicted squads that were claimed to be leaked on Monday, at that stage they had to they were very much on the back foot when they said, right, we've got to announce this at 1 o'clock today as opposed to announcing it this weekend. I'm sure Schmidt would have liked to have been in a situation whereby everyone stays around camp, the three guys who have been kept keep their mouth shut as well, and nothing is mentioned until Saturday. But that was unrealistic, I think.
It's been a pretty drab Tuesday. You know, the weather's not great. You can feel the evenings are closing in a bit, you know.
Let's bring
a bit of glamour to our lives, and hopefully you'll be able to see this on video, because this is Wes Hoolihan on game day, and this is how you travel to matches Oz style. What do we make of this, lads?
Well, he's on a boat, basically. I mean, you know, he's travelling through Queensland. Like, Wes Hoolihan, people might have slipped on the radar. He has moved to the A-League. He's moved down under. And this is his life now. Like, this time last year, not quite this time last year, this time 2 years ago in an international week, we'd be wondering why Wes Hoolihan wouldn't play. And Wes now, 2 years on, is away from all this stress, is away from all this, you know, willy won'ty sagas, and he's spending his Tuesdays on a boat, you know, on his way to whoever the Newcastle Jets next game is against. He's active enough on Instagram now, just posting snapshots of life in Australia now.
Would you
to be able to just travel with football.
Would it appeal to you if you were a footballer at the end of your career to go off to somewhere exotic? Like, a lot of League of Ireland lads kind of want to go to the States, and obviously Wes has gone to Australia. 100%.
Like, it's got great opportunities. Like, I think the lads that have a talent, like, they have a talent that they can go and work somewhere with sport at a level that probably wouldn't be as taxing as where they've worked at. Like, Wes Hoolihan was in a 46 game championship season for pretty much the most of the last decade, with the exception of his Premier League years.
He deserves a break.
He goes to A-League now, where it's a smaller league. There is more travel, although, hey, that's more pleasant than a 6 hour bus journey from Norwich to wherever, you know, on a Tuesday night, come back through the night. There is more travel, and there's a more relaxed schedule. It's also a league that does a lot of focus more so on attack and play. Now, I see Andy Keogh was there for the last couple of years. I think he's headed off to Saudi Arabia now. I might draw the line there in terms of heading.
It's the second division in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. It's probably a good deal, you know, and that's...
That was the money.
So you could have done a wheelbarrow as well. You know, it's more... That's more towards the end of the career, where it's like, listen, earning power, you got to get what you can out of the game. I think Wes's situation is probably a bit different. That I know that, like, he wanted to go to the Sun at some stage, and I think West Brom made him a pretty good offer that convinced them to stay, and listen, that's life, that's business, that's a decision. But now, while he can, why wouldn't you? Would you? You miss home too much.
You'd miss the race, the element of home.
You miss the race, and
I think Will's a bit like that, though. You'd be a bit of a homebird, would you?
A little bit, yeah. I still live not probably too far from home, but I think if someone was offering to pay me decent wages to go live in Australia for a couple of years, I'd probably take it up. I'm delighted that Wes is actually still playing on, because I remember I interviewed him back in June, and he wasn't 100% sure what he was going to do for this year. He was kind of still looking to try and get a club, but he says he was relaxed enough about the idea of maybe working with his own coaching school and just doing a bit of coaching and dipping his toe into that. I'm sure when the opportunity came to move to a league where he's probably getting decent cash living in the Sun, start of the spring in Australia, you're not going to turn that down. And he has a goal already with his right foot.
Closer to Summer Bay and all that.
Better bang home and away off it.
Yeah, but speaking of money, though, the situation in Galway right now and the county board, where is this going to go in terms of they've no managers? I don't know, you know, what Michael O'Donoghue's gripe with the county board was, but there obviously was something deep there. The Kevin Walsh departure is probably a lot more expected, but it's just kind of worrying times for my county at the moment.
Well, the weird thing as well, Johnny, was this was expected in terms of Kevin Walsh stepping down. But again, a bit like the hurling, how long has this dragged on since Galway were knocked out of the championship? Like, Galway were knocked out last round of the qualifiers before the Super 8, so it's been quite some time since they were knocked out. So you'd imagine if Kevin Walsh, you know, as the statement said today, he's happy with where he's brought them to, left the county in a better place and good structures are there. If you're going to leave, surely he would have left pretty much in the aftermath of that qualifier defeat.
We're
very late looking for managers.
Yeah, and we will have a chat with Danny Cummins, who was basically there for the entire 5 year reign of Kevin after the news round. But it's just as you say. It's
what's the good news story in Galway sport at the moment, John? You tell me, as a proud Galwegian, Galway United.
Galway United are playing Shamrock Rovers on Friday night.
Okay, but.
A fixture is hardly a good news story, is it?
No.
No, we don't have a bar anymore in Terryland Park.
No bar.
Because it was mentioned this in I edited the Galway United match programme, and Justin Mason had his stag in Galway the last time Shamrock Rovers played in Galway. He's actually a Shamrock Rovers fan. Yeah. And, you know, there's this kind of ludicrous notion that football fans can't have beers at games because they're all a crowd of hooligans, but it's grand for rugby fans because they're from Dublin 6 or whatever, Dublin 4. Oh, it's grand, they can have, but, like, no, you can't. So you can't have Shamrock Rovers fans at Galway United. But actually we had Justin having his stag in Terryland. Brilliant night, he said it was. Brilliant stag. So we need the bar. We need the bar back.
You can tell you spend a lot of time in Dublin Six now as well. You go to that in front of four as your Dublin reference.
Do we have anything good? Like, where's Conor Rugby? I mean.
Jack Carty's making some strides. They're going to play in the Champions Cup again next year. Redevelopment's going to happen at the sports ground, which is kind of badly needed. I actually quite like going to the sports ground, just purely whether you're going to the dogs or whether you're going to the rugby. Like, it's a really good location. You just walk up the hill. You're very quickly back into town if you want to go.
Brilliant location.
Afterwards. Fantastic.
Near arguably the best pub in the world, O'Connell's on Air Square.
Not a bad spot.
And you see, like, just to be able to walk 5 minutes to the ground then. It's one of the problems Terryland has. It's a bit of a walk. And Galway people have this interesting thing that if it's too wet, they'll be disinclined to go to a Galway United match because they want to stay in the pub. And if it's a sunny evening, they'll be disinclined to go to a Galway United match because they want to stay in the pub. So that's a problem for Galway United. So we have to bust them out, or like kind of coerce them into coming to games. What's really Dan's rather trenchant objection to Irish rugby? And he's gone with the Sticky has gone with both the question mark and the exclamation mark. I mean, we're Irish. Surely it's important to follow it rather than say the English Premiership. Sticky and Rimna.
That's a good point, yeah.
That's the first time I've ever seen Dan respond positively to criticism.
Well, no. I mean, we're all Irish, apart from some of the players that are going.
Actually, this I'm not... I have a bit of an issue with this. So, he's basically kind of replaced by a guy who's essentially not Irish.
Yep.
I don't know.
See, we've had that. Like, we've had that in our international sports teams for years. But, I mean, I would argue always that there's a slight difference between... someone who qualifies through the grandparent rules... They are reflective of our country's history with, like, emigration, with, you know, okay, they might speak with a Cockney accent and, yeah, maybe they didn't spend a huge amount of time there as kids, or maybe they've just learned their family history. But, you know, at least they are part of a history. There was someone in their past who was part of Ireland's history of exporting people. It's part of the family. It's part of the family name. You know, it comes from that. Whereas, I mean, if you're cynically recruiting players to come here, and that's fine, that's the rules of rugby as well. Like, they are acting within the rules, there's nothing illegal about it, but you probably have to expect the flack that goes with it.
Absolutely.
It's not going to be for everyone. And what sometimes winds people up is that I think that sometimes there is this view that, well, you know, the rugby boys, you know, they are very invested, as, like, unlike these detached footballers sometimes. Well, that's not the reality. In both codes, there are professionals who cynically go where they need to go for the sake of their career, and that's it. Like, there is no difference. There's no distinction.
You remember when these players come effectively as project players to come here, and the residency rules were definitely, they were too loose when it was only three seasons. When it goes out to 5 years now, it becomes more difficult, and it's a big commitment at that stage. Well, I do wonder whether more South African players would be recruited at a younger age when it comes to 5 years as opposed to three. But if you come here, I'd imagine for those players as well, quite aside from the possibility of playing international rugby, which maybe they weren't going to get at home, it also means they're coming in to probably get quite well played and played inside the provincial system here as well. So there's a double benefit. Mm. If you go to Munster or you go to Leinster as a project player, in all likelihood, you're going to earn more cash than you probably were earning back at home in South Africa or New Zealand as well. I mean, obviously, Klein has been very, very controversial because it was so close to the World Cup. I'm sure Irish rugby fans will be quite happy to embrace James Lowe, given how good he's been at provincial level for Leinster when he comes in for next year. We tend to be very selective about who we get annoyed about. So if Bundiaki's playing well, if CJ Standard's playing well, they generally tend to be embraced by the Irish public for the best part. But if a player comes in and the feeling is that he's keeping someone out, particularly someone like Devon Toner, who's very well liked, the backlash tends to kick back every time.
I think someone like Toner, again, I say this from a slight remove, but he just seems to be such a popular figure that from the PR side of things, it places the project player in a very negative light.
Yeah, you know, like,
it
is like someone
like, as Luke Fitzgerald, I think, and people have said, you know, it's someone who they've soldiered with. The Irish born lads know them. He's been there. This is what he's been aspiring towards. He gets replaced by someone who's dropped in. But, like, this is professional sport. I can understand why. Like, I wouldn't cast aspersions on his character. He's playing the game. But I think, you know, if there's romantic statements and uttered about, you know, what the team stands for. Like, you have to accept that, you know, rugby just seems to have this ability to drop lads in. That is part of the game. That's part of the culture.
If there's anything that makes you feel better in times of trouble, it's likes on Twitter, and Devon is up to 5,800.
Turned off his notifications. He's turned off his notifications.
109 retweets. Sean Maguire and Scott Hogan, who took his time in declaring for Ireland, have done absolutely nothing in an Ireland jersey in comparison to Shane Long. Long is worthy of a squad place at least. No doubt McCarthy's buddies in the media. Slightly cryptic message there from Joe and Cavan.
It wasn't very cryptic, it was pretty blunt.
Yeah. No doubt McCarthy's buddies in the media.
Was there something else added on to that?
No. Like, so, but
I think he's missing a few words.
Ah, we'll defend his. Actually, I digress, because Joe and Cavan, it was relayed to me without being fully finished. No doubt McCarthy's buddy in the media. Buddies in the media will defend his decisions. Is McCarthy a lad who kind of pals to the media, or is he gruff, or is he somewhere in between?
I think somewhere in between. I don't know. Like, I speak to lads who would have covered McCarthy the first time around, and I think, like, obviously there was stuff that happened, you know, towards the end that was pretty fraught. I think he could be quite confrontational at times. I think he's come back in this time, and there are lads who know him very well from that time, and I think he has a certain rapport with them, which is, you know, a bit pantomime at times, you know, there's a bit of back and forth, but ultimately they have a relationship and they got on very well, whereas someone like Martin O'Neill would have been more detached. You know, and wouldn't necessarily really had a relationship with anyone, really. Yeah. You know, with some more than others. But it's an interesting point. Like, someone like Scott Hogan hummed and hawed about playing for Ireland big time, and if a squad was named tomorrow and Scott Hogan was picked ahead of, say, Sean Maguire, you've no doubt that privately, some players and you know, some people associated, you know, their family and so on, would be probably as aggrieved as Devon Toner's people would be in a slightly different way.
We have a text about another texture here. Lads, where's the walking sound Beckenbauer gone? Haven't heard from him in ages. Has he emigrated, Paul, from Cork? Let's have the news round.
All right.
Where is he gone?
I don't know who the walking sound Beckenbauer is.
He's a regular texter.
Must be. Yeah.
Right.
A very regular texter to the show, and I don't know.
If the walking sound Beckenbauer is listening, just let us know that you're okay. Is that okay?
No, that's fine. Yeah, that's an okay
walking sound Beckenbauer.
Maybe a bit more compassion.
Do you think
voice.
He looks like Beckenbauer? Do you think he plays like Beckenbauer?
More likely to play like him.
Yeah.
Looking like him wouldn't.
Beckenbauer is like.
You wouldn't like walking sound Beckenbauer. It's more of a description of someone's style as opposed to their looks. When you think about it.
We can only speculate, but if the walking sound Beckenbauer is still there, please let us know that you're okay, because Paul from Cork is definitely interested. Normally loves your sports programme, but can't believe you're a sports commentator. Admits he doesn't like a certain sport. Rugby still can't believe he did. A lot of my mates hate rugby as well, to be honest. Let's get the news.
All right, we'll start with rugby, because Ireland head coach Joe Smith has hit back Gus Pishaw for claiming that Devon Toner should seek answers about his omission from the Ireland Rugby World Cup squad. World Rugby's vice president criticised Ireland's decision to pick the South African-born John Klein over the Leinster Loch Toner in their 31-man group for Japan. Smith responded to Pishaw's comments today, insisting that he's playing by the rules.
Yeah, again, I think Gus Pishaw had a big opinion about who should be world number one as well. I think he has a number of big opinions, but they're not ones that are relevant for us. And talking to Gats last week, it wasn't relevant for him either. What is relevant for us is, under the laws of the game as they were, you know, we're entitled to pick guys who have qualified. And considering he's involved in world rugby, maybe, you know, he could have a look at what the rules were and maybe not have so much to say.
Meanwhile, the Altai coach has also revealed that Johnny Sexton...
Is Joe getting a little bit...
I think he's
losing his cool a bit?
I don't know about losing the cool, but I think he's reached the point, a bit like Mick McCarthy, where he knows there's a very set amount of time left before he leaves the job. So I think Smith may well have reeled in this and mightn't have necessarily hit back a year ago. But now he knows he's only got a month left. And he went on to say as well, he's like, look, these rules are going to change. I'm not going to be around for when they change.
I did speak to a journalist today who was delighted that he doesn't have any or many more Schmidt press conferences.
Oh. Yeah. Are you going to out that person?
She, absolutely not. He or she will not be named.
Okay. Nice. Well, the Ireland head coach, Joe Smith, also revealed today Johnny Sexton will start against Wales on Saturday. He's not played so far in pre-season, the current World Player of the Year. Keane Healy, Robbie Henshaw and Keith Earls are also in contention to play this weekend. Kieran Marmion, Will Addison and Jordy Murphy are still training with the group, despite being left out of the 31-man squad for the World Cup yesterday. Republic of Ireland, the women's team in action tonight. Caretaker boss is Tom O'Connor. He believes they can reach Euro 2021. O'Connor's side kick off their qualification campaign at home to Montenegro in around 11 minutes' time. And Jamie Moore is at Tallaght Stadium.
The quest to qualify for their first ever major tournament begins for the Ireland women's national team tonight. They host Montenegro in their opening Euro 2021 qualifier here at Tallaght Stadium at 7:30. The girls in green will be captained by Tallaght native Katie McCabe and managed by Tom O'Connor. He's in temporary charge after the departure of Colin Bell, who joined Huddersfield. Ireland came close to making a World Cup playoff in the last campaign, and they'll be hoping for a good start to this one against a Montenegrin team that lost 10-0 to group favourites Germany on Saturday. Record-breaking crowds attended Ireland's last two games here last year. They'll be aiming to break the 4,000 mark again tonight, with the journey and hopes of qualifying for the finals in England kicking off at 7:30.
Big game for them tonight. We obviously lose Quinn on Saturday, and not exactly an ideal kind of prep in terms of management and all that, but they have a temporary coach.
No, they don't have a manager, and I think I'm not sure if it would be accepted if it was, you know.
You made that point on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I think it was someone else who made the point. But yeah, Montenegro lost 10-0 to Germany in their first match, so their record would suggest they're not world beaters, so they should be able to get through this one. And maybe is that part of the thinking? Montenegro at home should be fine. Mm. You know, but I mean, that's grand, but then it needs to work. Mm. It needs to be that way.
Elsewhere, Dave McGoldrick is hoping to lead the line for the Republic of Ireland in Thursday's Euro 2020 qualifier against Switzerland. The striker's played in four of the five games so far this season for Sheffield United in the Premier League. But in summer of 2018, he was without a club before he signed for the Blades.
I think we're getting our critics, you know. I seen Garth Crooks talking the other day, saying that we're down and we're rubbish, you ain't seen nothing, you know. I ain't got a clue what he took that morning, but he needs to think that we're not ordinary, we play a different way, a different style. And I think we've come with the same philosophy that we've used from the Championship, and I think we need to get a bit of respect for that. We ain't changed for no one, and we've got a few results. And listen, it's going to be a long season. We're going to have ups and downs. There's going to be games where we get beat and we walk off the pitch and we just got to hold our hands up. But I think, you know, we've at home we can give teams a lot of problems. I think we'll see that throughout the season.
Is that the first time that Garth Crooks has ever been referenced in a press conference, apart from when he was playing, obviously?
Well, in an Irish press conference. Yeah. We haven't had too many players come and call out Crooksy.
Crooksy?
But I assume that's how he might be known.
I doubt it, to be honest. But
the vernacular of English football nicknames is generally just that.
Forget about the Beckenbauer lad. We want Crooksy to let us know whether that is or is not.
Likely his nickname is Crooksy.
Crooksy.
He's more of a Garth.
They used to do a great impression of him on Apre Match. Like, it was kind of like he, there was a lot of kind of sucking in as he was talking. Crooksy. Nathan and Joe have been locked away in an isolation chamber today, psyching themselves up for tomorrow night. The Roy Keane and Gary Neville Premier League Roadshow. Either of you lads going?
Yeah,
probably so. Yeah.
Unbelievable demand. It's happening.
You didn't really give it a sell there, John.
It's happening at the. Well, I don't need to sell it. It's sold out.
It's
sold out. There's no point selling it. It's neither on the radio nor can. It's actually sold out. But what is the point of me selling it? It's sold out.
But the most blasé description of Nathan and Joe being locked away, in a matter of fact, that's actually very serious.
Nathan was taking me off his computer half an hour ago because he has a show in front of 2,000 people tomorrow night.
It's because you were writing the Galway United match program editorial.
It's happening at the Borgot Energy Theatre tomorrow night in association with Cadbury. It's sold out. It was sold out basically as soon as announced. Very good charity, obviously, but we will play you some of the highlights later on this week. But in fairness, just going back to Crooksy, it was interesting that he had a little dig, and these guys have a little bit of a point to prove, these Sheffield United lads as well.
Oh, they do. Well, that's the great profile of their squad, is that pretty much none of them had played in the Premier League before, you know, to any great degree over a long period of time. And they had a great sort of unity. So I'd say they take umbrage at anything like that. An old school siege mentality that probably wouldn't be out of place in an Irish dressing room too.
Great to have a siege mentality.
Indeed.
Well, Celtic have signed themselves another Irish underage international. Defender Lee O'Connor has joined the Scottish champions from Manchester United. He's agreed a four-year contract with the Scottish champions. He joins fellow Irish underage internationals Luke O'Connell and Jonathan Afolabi in making the move to the Scottish champions this summer across the city. Rangers have splashed the cash today as well. On deadline day, they made this signing. Ryan Kent from Liverpool, they signed him for £7.5 million.
Just briefly on this, and you know I make rash judgments on players that I've seen for about 10 minutes. I really like this lad, the little I've seen him under.
What do you like about him?
Brilliant defender. He knows how to defend. I don't know where his best position is. Is he centre midfielder? Is he a right back? I don't know.
He's very versatile. He's played everywhere. I mean, he would have been compared to John O'Shea a lot because he's from Waterford, went to Man U at 16. But also, you know, good character, captained club and country, played a variety of positions across the back four.
Good move.
Bit disappointing that he hasn't broken in at Man U, like, or didn't get a chance. So a good move, I guess it is, but Celtic has signed another...
Whoa. It's a walking Sam Beckenbauer here, lads. Been on the lash for the last few months. I'm not available for legend messages for another month. I'll be back in the usual radio sports show tech circuit then. Cheers for the shout-out. Very worried. If you've been on the lash for the last
Must be a teacher. Absolutely.
I disassociate myself with the link, the nexus between being on the lash for the last few months.
From a family of teachers.
And could the walking Sam Beckenbauer just text in again and let us know if he's a teacher or not? Dan Lee O'Connor.
Yeah, no, listen, is it a good move? Well, Celtic signed like Jeremy Frimpong from Man City yesterday, another defender from Kilmarnock, Greg Taylor. So, like, Luke O'Connell joined in the summer, as Will mentioned. Like, they have a load of young lads in their development section, but I'm guessing if you're giving someone a 4-year deal and you've made a play to get him, he's closer to the team than not. So I hope so. Sort of Celtic is becoming interesting again. They went a while there without any real Irish link, you know, in terms of player-wise.
And if there's anything we love more, it's Irish people supporting Celtic.
Well, at least there's players there now.
In fairness, and you know, it would make it a bit more interesting anyway. Will, more news?
Well, Galway, as we mentioned top of the show, are now searching for a new senior football manager after Kevin Walsh confirmed he's stepping down after 5 years in charge. The Troisen won two Connacht titles during his tenure. They also reached last year's Division 1 league final as well. Walsh says it was an honour to manage the team and that he feels he's left football in the county in a better place. In a statement, Galway County Board have thanked Walsh for his tremendous dedication and for putting professional structures in place as well. John Dively and Pádraig Joyce are the early favourites in being linked with the position. And Galway legend Michael Meehan was on this morning's OTB AM.
But Kevin, hard luck in the immediate aftermath, with little time to think about it. Where do you think it went wrong?
First half was good. Total control. It wasn't weather conditions were poor on both sides. It was rain, but there was no major wind. But second half just didn't seem to get our hands on the ball. I think maybe overturned the ball maybe two or three times at the start of the second half when we were attacking. And the next 20 minutes we didn't seem to get our hands on the ball. I could be reading this wrong. Obviously, you probably had more time to watch this than I had. But we'll have to evaluate it during the week. And one thing we're sure is it wasn't a consistent performance.
Only 2 points in the second half, and it wasn't like there was a huge amount of wides in there either. Why do you think you weren't creating any opportunities, really?
You have to tell me. I think probably didn't get our hands on the ball enough. They seemed to be winning all the breaking ball and running at us. We certainly weren't as good defensively in the second half. But having said that, it doesn't seem to get our hands on the ball.
Were you holding too many men back inside your own half?
Do you think so?
I'm asking you.
But do you think so?
No, I'm just asking the question. You think that was one of the reasons?
I don't think it was one of the reasons. I mean, because there's a lot of guff out there about that. At the end of the day, we didn't get our hands on the ball. We need to get our hands on the ball. There was no different instruction in the first half compared to the second half, and we've had our chat in there. But, you know, whether a change of mindset in being able to get...
But Kevin, hard luck in the immediate aftermath.
Well, that's Kevin Walsh himself talking after the Connacht.
The walking Sam Beckenbauer is completely perplexed now because he's after hearing a clip.
Like, I thought I was sober again. If there's one thing Kevin Walsh didn't need, obviously, it was him being played after the Connacht final. Having said that, I think that was quite revealing in terms of his mindset, because we're going to discuss that with Moira Trasa after the break, in the sense of maybe some of the problems that Kevin faced. Before we wrap up, you're cousins with John Dively.
We are related, although I don't think I've ever actually met him. Remember, in fact, I haven't met him.
First cousin, my second family, cousin, third once removed.
Somewhere down the line, all my family on my mother's side are Divilies. Yeah,
So it'd be a strong Galway name.
It would, very strong Galway name. Yeah,
we'll catch up with you.
There's some top class insight there, but you know, might be related to him. Yeah. Well, I am related to him, but never met him.
Just a brief tweet update. Now I've done with the tweet updates. We'll hopefully the walking Sam Beckenbauer might be on later in the show, but we'll talk to Dan in the later on in the show when we will talk football. Plenty of chat about Ireland and Switzerland. Thanks for Will for coming in for the news round. We'll take a break.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.